Good morning to each one. Greet you all in Jesus' name. It was truly a blessing to be here this morning. I trust you were already blessed as we entered into worship in song and in devotions this morning. I was inspired as we sang the second song we sang there, Jesus, thou boundless love to me. Has an impact on our life. Then in the devotions, we think of Solomon's servants and how their appearance was or how she viewed their expressions. Again, their expressions was due to the environment around them. Then our theme verse in the Sunday school lesson was out of 1 Peter 2:9 there. He was talking about, it said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye may show forth. So we see some action, something that's going to come from our life. Then the song we sang right before we came up here, take my life and let it be. That's very invigorating when we think of serving this holy God and how he wants our lives to reflect him. The last few weeks as I was meditating on what to have this morning, it's just I've seen so many different things or messages in the that was leading up to this message. So this morning is, title of the message is My Identification. Something we're all very familiar with. The Webster Dictionary says an act of identifying, or the evidence of identity. An unconscious psychological process by which an individual models thoughts, feelings, and actions after another person or an object. This morning as we were singing, were you identifying with it? Was your heart stirred? Was it moved in song? Were we connecting into the spirit there with when God ministered to us? Most of us carry ID cards. Our license has an image of us on. And there's people who ask for them at times, and they compare. Or maybe you're traveling out of the country, and they take your passport. And I know different airports handle these things different. But I had some already where you looked at the passport, they held it up, and they looked at you and the picture. They were observing it, because if they let you in the country, they were going to do it off the evidence they seen. Recently, my daughter read a book, and she was talking about how this girl had an ID card, and she was living for self and in the world. And later, she became a Christian, and as the officer, whoever was observing her on her license, it looked different than who she was presently, because her identity changed. And we are all constantly making judgment calls as we go out throughout the day. As we see people, you might see the fellow on the sidewalk with a hat on, strap coming across his chin, might have a handgun on the side, radio on his shoulder. You say, oh, that's a state trooper. You identified him. Or you might see a fellow in dark pants, suspenders, broad hat, and a beard. You say, oh, Amish. Or you might see a crew cleaning up beside the road in a green and white striped jumpsuit. And you say, oh, prison inmates. You're identifying them. Or you could be in an airport with hundreds of people around you. And you see an individual walking down the hall there, or whatever you call it. He's dressed in dark blue suit. has a hat on with them little bills on in the front. He has some signets on his arm and some personal, what do you call them? Rankings on his front here on his chest. And you say, oh, he must be a pilot. We identify them for what they look like. We might, maybe we are wrong. Maybe it's just someone who wants to be one. But we all have this mental we view these people and we connect them with this type of individual. But this morning, as people observe our life, what do they see? Just as fast as we, maybe judge ain't the word, but as we make judgment calls on what we see, people are doing that constantly to me, constantly to you. Who are you? And if the songs we sang, we are living that, we will stand out as a different people. We will be a peculiar people. That very familiar verse there in Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We see that very God is concerned about our identity, our witness, what we say, who we are. This morning I don't stand here having a perfect record on identity. And identity is a choice, something we all willingly choose. Nothing just happens. We don't just wake up in the morning and dress the way we do because of no thought or consideration of what we're going to do. Like that one definition said, it's a psychological. It's so subtle. It's such a snare how those things can mold our lives almost to our unaware. And we know the world around us is changing very rapidly, and we change with time. We don't do the things the way we used to, or like our grandpa did. But we are supposed to build our lives off the unchanging Word of God. This morning in 2015, there's power to stand. Scripture says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It shall endure forever. So this morning, are you building your life off the shifting times? Are we slowly moving? And oh yeah, we don't know what, and it so subtly takes us. Or are we standing on the sure word of God? We all must make practical and personal application to the scripture. And this is every day. This is not something that we do on New Year resolutions and you know what, this is what we'll do this year. It's daily. And as people observe our life, as people seeking spiritual direction for their life, as they want to know or draw closer to God, you might say on a journey, they're not really interested what we are on Sunday or in church activities. They're going to wonder who we are the rest of the time. What do you identify with? Do you identify with just the form of Mennonites? Or are you for real? Are you living our are we living our lives by the Word of God? This morning we'd like to look at quite a few scriptures just for people who identified with different things. And some of these areas are individuals who had little to do with the choice of their identity. But then there's many who have made deliberate choices. And some of these consequences were severe for what they chose. For the first one, you can turn to Genesis 25, 22 22 through 26. A very interesting account of individuals who had little to do with their identity. But later on in life, their identity didn't change, and the prophecy that went with him or about him was true. Genesis 25. This is about the birth of Esau and Jacob. Verse 22. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus? Why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from the bowels, and one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when the days of her deliverance were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, and all over like the hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old, and she bare them. Here we see their identity, how it followed them through life. I was thinking of their natural appearance. We know that Esau was a hairy man because later on in life, when Isaac gave the birthright to Jacob, it was through deception. How his mother went and killed a goat, and they laid the hair on his arms. He was a hairy man. Very little he could do about it. But we know how throughout, here it says there was two nations, two different kinds of people. They were going to fight one with another. But they were made deliberate choices to fight. We know how the mother loved Jacob and the father loved Esau. But they had identity. They had identity. People viewed him that way. We also want to see. So that was at birth when they had a peculiar identity, you might want to say. Then by our life. People who had identity by their life. Turn to Luke chapter 6. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bushes gather they grapes. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, but an evil man out of an evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Here we see that our lives, what first of all start talking about shrubbery and the fruits of the field, how we know that we're not going to get figs off of a thorn bush. We know that. But we also know by our lives that we can't bring forth evil things out of a good heart. And the consequences of these choices are very serious. Another interesting one is one by our speech. Turn to Judges 12. Again, this is all due with identity. This is when Jephthah went to fight against the Ephraimites. And they had, we know, individuals who speak other languages sometimes have a hard time saying the words we say, whether you're, I know Dutchmen are known to get their V's and W's mixed up at times. But here's a group of individuals were judged or were killed because of their accent. It was an identity thing. They were separated from who they really were. And I'm not sure how to always, I'm not good at pronouncing these words, but it was very interesting how they were, you might say, sorted out by their identity. Verse 6. Then said they unto him, say now. Does someone want to try it? Shibboleth or something? And he said, Sibboleth. They couldn't say the, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passage of Jordan. And there fell that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. Here we see that God's people could say the SH, the SH. But the Ephraimites couldn't say the SH. They could only say the S. And it was an identity thing. This is how 42,000 people lost their life. And I believe God gave, we know this is Old Testament time, how God gave Jephthah the wisdom to fight these enemies. Another thing of identity is in 2 Kings 10. And this is verse 23 is when Jehu was killing all the prophets of Baal. And this was by searching. And Jehu went and Jonadab, the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal and said unto the worshippers of Baal, search and look that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worshippers of Baal only. So apparently by evidence, these servants of Baal could distinguish the servants of the Lord. There was some type of identity here that they were looking for. And we all know that, I mean, if you read this account, every one of them was slain by the edge of the sword. We're familiar with the account there in Matthew 26 where Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. It was at night. And those that went out with Judas pride didn't quite know for sure how to distinguish. They wanted to make sure they got Jesus. So we know how Judas betrayed him and he did it with a kiss. Because he could identify Jesus. He knew him personally. In Luke 18, verse 9, we know how the Pharisee and the publican went forth to pray. And the one stood up and he did a long prayer. Thank God that I'm not like other men. And can't quite recall that how he said that. But the publican smote himself on his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The expression of self-righteousness and humility. We know how the Lord interpreted that. We know how he viewed that. One went to his house justified. Humility went to the publican went to his house justified. Think of our Lord in Larry's prayer. He's told, was saying how it humbles God to look down at his creation. And we look at creation in awe and praise his name for it. Yet he chose to come down to us and redeem us. And we all know the way he came into this world. He came through the common people, the lowly people, the humble people. He came through a lowly birth, no show of kingliness or royalty. His life wasn't surrounded with lots of comfort. Scripture said he didn't have a place to lay his head. He was accused of being friends of sinners. He was continuously surrounded by the lame, the poor, the sick. And then he died on the cross for you and me. He gave himself. Nothing kingly, nothing royal, nothing to be praised through human eyes. But we know his life wasn't about the here. It wasn't about the comfort. I believe he came through this way. One of the reasons is so he could reach all. If he would have came through some royal line, through some kingly line, you know, the poor people, the sick, probably would have had the feeling of not being able to attain it. You and I couldn't have probably been able to reach out because of his class he had. But he came poor. For our sakes, he became poor. And he did this. The whole world is his. Everything was his. This morning, what are you seeking? What am I seeking? Are we seeking to identify with that? He's still seeking the souls who are willing, who are humble, and want to serve him. Next, we'd like to look at proper and right times to identify with Christ. If we choose to identify with Christ as we walk from day to day with him, it will spare us a lot of grief, a lot of regret. So we would like to look at quite a few or some verses again this morning on proper times and right places when we should. And this is, we'll turn to Proverbs for the first one. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read verse 10 through 19. And we know this is Solomon, or David talking to Solomon here. He says, my son, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And if they say, come with us, and let us lay in wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the ways of them, with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, to make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in thy sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk priorly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. I believe the warning here is when we are out to harm. And this is one area where we can face many regrets in heeding counsel of those who are up to no good. And again, this morning, so often as we are young, we don't see these things and we don't think about these things. And as I grow older, yes, have some enticed me to draw in. But what have I done? Have I enticed others? Have I been that example? You might say living for this, for the moment. It's something that looks innocent. But I've done that. Live for the moment, not considering the regret, the heartache, the grief. As you meet people years later, and they remember. That's when we have the opportunity to be a witness for him, and things are taken care of. Even though we have to hang our head in shame. Think of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. When his parents taught him apparently that not to eat of the king's meat. And he knew the difference between unclean meat and... And those convictions were going to be violated by when he was brought into this strange country. It seemed like he didn't have an option of the menu. This is what we're going to serve you. This is yours. But he stood up and said, you know what? He don't want to defile his body with the king's meat. Can we be that strong and not have our convictions violated? I don't want to defile my body. I'm not sure how many were surrounded by him that came from captives of the youth that were captives there. But I'm sure some of them, if they were normal youth, wanted to taste meat they never had before. They wanted to experience that wine that they never drank. But a young man standing, he wasn't going to let his convictions be violated. And we know how the Lord blessed him and led him. And yeah, he did influence his three friends to do the same. And how their countenance was fairer and their wisdom was greater. And I believe it's because they stood. When the small test came, they stood for what was true and right. Another area we need to a proper time to identify with Christ is when we're tempted to conform to this world. Turn to Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Be not conformed to this world. We all know this world is a very selfish place. Seems like people are only concerned about themselves, what they can get out of things. try to get as much as possible with as least as possible. And we can avoid many worldly customs as we were born and raised, many of us, in good Christian homes. We were taught biblical principles. But however, can I say in spite of all that, or there's customs of the world as far as pride and covetousness and stubbornness and selfishness. These are customs that the world have that can, yeah, we might say those are sins of the spirit as well. But it talks about not being conformed to this world. This is what the world identifies with. This is how they get to where they want to go, through these avenues. And they can get to many good places that are appealing to the eyes with these. But it's not to their own good. We're supposed to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect. We're supposed to live for this because it's the will of God. Another area we need to identify, when to identify with Christ, is when we're feeling rebellious. And I know we often look to the youth as the ones who struggle with rebellion. Turn to Romans 13. Verses 1 through 5. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God, and the power that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resisteth shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God and a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Many of us can have this feeling at times of, I don't feel like it. Or I don't want to. And it's not only the children, the youth that have that nature. But if we really look at our hearts when we have these feelings, what is it? It can be that little seed of rebellion that's starting to brew. Or whatever it does, wants to take a hold. They don't have the right to do that to me. Another area is when we're tempted to learn evil ways. Romans 16:19 speaks of that. And Proverbs 19:27, Paul was talking there to the people about how you were Romans 16, verse 19. And your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would that you would but be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Learning evil ways. There's many things that we can learn or look into today. We think of all the convenience we have as far as looking things up. Is it all necessary? Is it all for the good or building the kingdom of God? It may neither be right nor wrong, but is it looking into the ways of this world to learn why they do the things they do or how they do the things they do? Proverbs talked about let's not listen to the counsel of the evil or follow their ways. And we all will be tempted. I know I was always impressed with the way you can blow things up. And I know there's many avenues where it can be done in a right way. But we know this world is full of things. People using simple, everyday objects to blow things up. I give that as a caution. Let's not mind those things. Those things have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Also, another place where we have to identify with Christ is when we're tempted to be with improper associates, which hopefully here before too long we can hear a message on how we are to this unequal yoke and how that can seem to be so subtle and come in unawares. But we're supposed to try the spirits. We're supposed to seek, if we seek the Lord in prayer and ask our brothers and confide in each other on associates, you know, is this good or is this wrong? Let's not fly with our own knowledge. Because I can so easily justify my feelings and my actions and fail to see that I might be going out on a limb by myself on this issue. But I'm also aware we're blessed to live in a region, I'm going to call it, that there's many Christian employers. And when the Bible talks about being unequally yoked, I'm not sure where that, because I know many parts of the world where they don't have this blessing as far as working for an employer where he's an unbeliever. Maybe that's an area where I got to be careful that I don't go out on the limb. Maybe that's another aspect of that message that we're going to hear sometime. But as we identify, when we come to these tests and these trials, or these situations, you might call it, as we identify with Christ, the result of that, turn to John 17. The result for, one of the results of this is we're going to be hated. People aren't going to like us because we're stood up for truth. 17:14, a very familiar verse. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. As we come up to these situations where we're openly expressing, I'm just looking here, openly telling individuals, I'm not going to conform to this world. It's going to be, to some individuals, it's going to be a confrontation. What do you mean? And then you go down that, whatever it may be, and you bring and apply scripture to my life. It's going to speak. We're not going to be, and through the world's eyes, they don't want to, it's easy to identify with the world, but as we identify with Christ and his word, it has a thing of separating. It has a thing of the hatred begins to build. Separation is another one. Luke 6, 22 and 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. Behold, your reward is great in heaven. And in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Again, as we stand for our Lord and identify with Him, we're supposed to be joyful when they put us off to the side and you're the goody-goody. Does that make you feel good? I know I've been there and I was like, well, did I say the wrong thing? Or, you know, you feel like there's a relationship that's been broken and what are they going to think? It don't matter. If we stand for truth, we're supposed to rejoice. And I know that can be a difficult road at times, trying to find, well, should have been more gentle with what you said? Or, but this verse says, no, we're not. We're supposed to just rejoice. In suffering, none of us likes pain or suffering. The next three come out of 1 Peter. First Peter 2. And 21. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even here unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Suffering. Don't feel good to, I'm sure we all have been there. Or, yeah, maybe not the younger ones, but most of us have experienced that when we were in the wrong and we knew it and we got pounded for it. It don't feel good. But when we do what was right and still get blamed for doing wrong, it tells us here we're supposed to accept it. Be patient. And I think as the world, with the condition and the way that things are going, I'm not sure what the future all has. But I think with these verses, let's not forget these verses that God has given us in here. Just because it's a little uncomfortable, let's not shy away. We're to be, and also another result of identifying with Christ is we're a witness. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man which asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. This morning, as we were singing songs and as we were listening to the devotion, did you feel the Lord ministering to you? Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Were you communing with Him? And be ready to always to give an answer to every man that asketh you. I know I sometimes struggle with this verse, there's times people ask me questions and I feel like I know what this verse says, because be ready always to give an answer. You can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think it is all right sometimes to say, can I look into that? Can I study that a little more? I don't want to take away from this verse. If I'm doing something wrong, please tell me. Because there's times we have to take time to pray. And sometimes these people come with questions to put us on the spot. They come to try us. And we need to be careful with what we answer, because I know sometimes when I speak off the top of my head, I say the things wrong. But we do need to be a witness. I take from that verse about being a witness. An everyday witness is a result of being with Christ. And we also do it for good conscience. Verse 16, the next verse. having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. We all know what it's like to have a free, clear conscience. What a blessing is when we identify with Christ and are living our life wholly for Him, we can have this clear, clean conscience. The thing of guilt has been removed. We're doing all we know what we can. And this is a gift, you might say, that God gives us. So why do we do all these things? What's the basis or the reason for it? We all know it's not for the here and now, even though the clear conscience is a reward or a blessing God gives us. But being hated, being separated, suffering, it's not for the here and now. It's something yet to come. Turn to Romans 8:18. It's for future glory. We all know that we're just passing through. And this life is a journey, and we're supposed to be strangers and pilgrims, and those things are all in our minds, but are we living that way? The past few Wednesday nights. Yeah, they were good for me. Okay, Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Future. Something that we don't have right now, but it's yet to come. Also 2 Corinthians 4. Romans 8:17-18. For our light affliction are but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We identify with Christ here and now, but it's for our future. It's for that future glory. It's not about here. Also, it's a life in Christ. We identify, the basis of it for identifying with Christ. In Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Is my life dead in Christ this morning? Is your life dead in Christ? Is it all Christ? Am I filled with Christ? Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you and the hope of glory. Again, we see the life in Christ is a basis or the reason. It's nothing this world has to offer. It's all about his life, my life being lost in his, and also for the future glory, in which the reward goes, the third one it has is the reward goes with future glory, I guess. But 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Here we see our reward. If we are faithful and we die with him, we will reign with him. And we know his reigning ain't about this. The disciples or the people, when Jesus was here on earth, they were hoping he would set up his kingdom here. And he taught, I don't know how many years, till they finally start recognizing, you know what? It is not about the here. It is not about the now. It's about the future reigning with Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a reward. There's a blessing for faithfulness, for identifying and focusing on Jesus Christ and his work and what he's done for us. This past week, our identity was an expression of our hearts. We read that in Romans 8, verse 5 and 6 there. Even though it may be subconscious and we don't really put a lot of effort forth into things we did, it's still an expression of what was in here. This coming week, we need to have to make choices to exalt the name of Jesus. I want to be careful that I don't say it don't come natural. I hope you understand with me. It don't just come natural to exalt the name of Jesus. Even though when Christ is living with us, it's an everyday, we can't hide it. I hope you understand what I mean there. But we got to deliberately take choices to stand for him. So today, our identity will impact someone. They will see us. They will observe us today, tomorrow, and say, who are you? What are you about? God bless you. Continue to live for him. Let's put effort forth to exalt the name of Jesus. Let's kneel for prayer.